This is Anchor, written by Fervent Rabbit and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Ed is kissing him, which he loves, of course. He's never been kissed like this, with hands brushing his cheeks, lips moving against his, pushing for more. When Ed kisses him, he sort of floats, like he's being lifted, buoyed, and he still feels that, mostly. But now there's something alongside it that sort of hovers out of sight, an anchor to the earth. He tries to close his mind against it, though that strategy didn't exactly work with the first dearly departed badminton, if he's honest. That ghost had staying power. He'll give him that. He supposes that the only way the poor fellow stayed trapped on that beach was Steed's eventual indifference. His acceptance, maybe. This feels so much harder. Because even though Ed is kissing him now, is hard against him now, he remembers that afternoon in the Republic of Pirates with something of a gut punch. Last night was a mistake. He knows why Ed said it, because Ed has told him again and again that he was scared and lost and wary, that it had nothing to do with how it had felt, what he'd wanted that night. And Steed believes him. He really does. And yet... Ed nips his lower lip between his teeth, which is a telltale sign that Ed wants this. Now. It sends a thrill through Steed's belly, but there's also a knot there that's thick enough to twist the excitement into something else. His lips purse slightly, and Ed pulls back. "Everything okay?" Ed asks. He's holding Steed's face in his hands. "More than okay. Everything's good." Ed eyes him like he's watching for a storm. "Steed," he begins.
"More talking, less swimming, right?"
Steed chuckles and lets his head tip back against the wall. He considers Ed for a few moments, cheeks flushed, lips parted slightly over quickening breath. He's so beautiful that Steed almost has to look away when he says,
"We don't have to, you know." "Don't have to what?"
"You know," he says, gesturing between them vaguely. "This." Ed furrows his brow, which is difficult because it's one of the most adorable configurations for his face, and makes Steed want to just forget the whole thing and go back to kissing.
"What do you want about me?"
"Just, well, I don't want you to feel like you have to, like I expect you to." He's making it worse, he thinks, because Ed steps back and lowers his hands. It's the last thing he wants. But it's probably for the best. Better for them to stop now before Steed can add to his long list of missteps. So he adds, softly, "I don't want to make another mistake."
"Another,"
Ed echoes, as if waiting for the sentence to finish itself. But then Steed sees his eyes widen with a flash of understanding.
"Oh.
It's all right, it's...
Steed."
Ed interrupts him and moves back into his space, his hand hovering in the air between them.
"It wasn't a mistake."
Steed shakes his head. "But you said, you know." He's never been good at naming his own emotions. He typically hops from one sensation to the next, never pausing long enough to wonder. This one's easy, though. It's familiar. Like a guest who's overstayed their welcome and has eaten all your biscuits. Tendrils of it have seeped into nearly every moment of his life. At dinner with Mary and the children, in the garden with his mother as his father sneered from the house, in classrooms with other boys snickering behind him. Shame leaves a bitter taste in his mouth, like sour fruit. Ed reaches out and takes his hand.
"It wasn't a mistake," he repeats. "I'm sorry I said that it was."
Steed huffs in surprise. Ed's worked at it. But apologies are still foreign phrases that don't quite roll off his tongue. This one's emphasized by a squeeze of his hand. "Okay," Steed says on a shaky exhale.
"Steed, I want you to really hear me. I wanted you that night, just like I want you now. I didn't run away from that."
"Well, I wouldn't say you ran away, just walked rather quickly."
"Steed,"
Ed chides, smiling a little.
"The mistake was not telling you how I was feeling. Not talking it through. Still learning that bit."
Steed nods, tries desperately to believe him.
Ed's telling the truth. He knows he is. But his words are sort of muffled, drowned out by a song his mind plays over and over, perfectly proficient. A chorus of, "You know that's not possible. Who would want you?" But he returns Ed's smile, forces himself to laugh to break the tension. He places his other hand on top of Ed's. "You're an excellent student. Never seen someone grasp the use of a melon spoon so quickly. I have every confidence." But Ed doesn't take the bait. He's looking at Steed so intently that Steed starts to squirm under the attention. "Forget I mentioned it."
"No,"
Ed says. He brings Steed's hand up to his mouth and kisses his knuckles.
"I'm sorry I ever made you feel like I don't want you."
For some reason that brings tears to Steed's eyes, which is ridiculous. But as he tries to reel them in, Ed leans forward and kisses his cheek so gently that it all sort of devolves from there. Ed catches salt on his lips, kisses up to Steed's temple, across his forehead.
"Sorry,"
Steed murmurs. He closes his eyes and tries to ground himself in the quick brush of Ed's mouth.
"Sorry,"
he says again. Ed reaches his lips and breathes there for a moment.
"Can I show you?"
he asks. His voice is low and rough.
"Yeah,"
Steed says. And then Ed is kissing him with lips clutching his, tongue sweeping into his mouth. Steed slides his hands into Ed's hair, because now that that door's been opened, he's determined to run his fingers through it at every possible opportunity. He moans into his mouth when Ed presses against him, inhales sharply through his nose when Ed snakes a hand down and brings their hips together.
"Feel that?"
Ed says, lips trailing up to Steed's ear.
"Feel how hard you make me?"
"Yeah," Steed breathes, as if that's all he's capable of saying. Suddenly Ed jerks away from him, immediately tosses his shirt over his head, works his pants open. Steed watches as Ed steps out of his clothes, bites his lip when Ed touches himself and looks up into Steed's eyes.
"God help me with this?"
Ed asks, tossing his hair over his shoulders. Steed nods, stepping forward and taking Ed by the hips. Something about Ed being naked while he's still fully clothed makes Steed's heart beat faster, urges him forward to bite into Ed's mouth. Ed's breath hitches as Steed's hand dips down to take his cock in his fist.
"Like this?"
Steed says. He leans down and sucks a bruise into Ed's neck. Ed gasps, and Steed feels his cock pulse.
"Come here."
Ed pulls him by the shirt over to the bed. He keeps pulling as he sits down so that Steed is standing between his legs, then sets about divesting Steed of his clothes as quickly as possible. Steed doesn't make the task easy. He dives forward to kiss Ed's mouth, reaches to span fingers down his back and grab his ass, takes his earlobe between his teeth. It takes twice as long as it should until Steed is naked and sprawled next to him on the bed, but Ed doesn't seem to mind. He moves down until his breath ghosts Steed's thighs. His hands run across Steed's belly, his ribs.
"I want every part of you,"
he says, and without much ado takes Steed deep into his mouth.
"Fuck,"
Steed shouts, because he's in his mid-40s and no one has ever done this to him. But even beyond that, this is Ed's lips around his cock, Ed's tongue circling him, Ed hollowing his cheeks around him. The shame from earlier is a distant memory, like a star long dead. Ed uses his hands to hold Steed's hips down and just works him, his tongue pressing against the head of Steed's cock, his throat opening. He's done this before, Steed thinks, and far from upsetting him, the thought sends a pulse of pre-cum into Ed's mouth, draws Steed's balls tighter. Ed hums around him, sinking further. Steed is amazed by him. He wants to know every single thing about him. He wants to see every part of his life, wants to touch every inch of his skin, hold him when he sleeps, dance with him, fuck him, make him breakfast in bed. It's almost as overwhelming as the feeling of Ed taking him down into his throat.
"Close,"
he whimpers.
Ed hums again and flicks his eyes up to Steed's face. It's undeniable, then, that Ed needs this just as much as he does. Steed throws his head back and comes. Ed swallows around him, holding the base of his cock with his hand. He lingers until Steed is soft in his mouth, then drops his forehead onto Steed's hip. Steed can tell he's reaching down to touch himself, and that just won't do. He draws Ed up into his arms and lays him back against the mattress. "Do you know how incredible you are?" he whispers. He takes Ed in his hand and wastes no time, stroking fast. He kisses him and tastes himself on Ed's tongue. Ed's hand darts up to squeeze his shoulder. "Oh, God," he whines into Steed's mouth. Steed had wanted to say this before, back at Anne and Mary's. It probably hadn't been the best time, in retrospect, and he respected Ed's wishes. But now he lets the warmth in his chest fold out like wings, soars with it. "I love you," he says. "Ugh." Ed chokes and tenses beneath him. Steed looks down and watches him come, heat zipping up his spine. They both breathe harshly for a few long moments, Ed coming down in trembling stages. Steed rests his forehead against Ed's as he withdraws his hand, somehow finds his shirt to wipe them clean. Ed nuzzles into him, and even though Steed's eyes are mostly closed, he can tell Ed's smiling.
"Love you too,"
he says, almost shyly. Steed places his hand on Ed's chest, lets Ed's heartbeat soothe him. He'll stay like this, he thinks, for as long as Ed wants. The end.